Dear brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, another Ramadan is almost over. I had prepared the khutbah based on a talk given by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf to welcome Ramadan. And all of a sudden I find Brother Majid now telling me to remind you that you should pay your zakah for Eid, the fitr zakah. So just to remind you, the box over there is for zakat al-fitr. It is an obligatory zakah. If you pay it before Eid prayer, it is a zakah and you take the thawab for zakah. If you pay it after Eid prayer, you still get thawab but for sadaqah, not for zakah. So it's much better to pay it well ahead. Eid might be next Wednesday or Thursday, so I think whoever wants to do it can do it today or keep it for the morning, but just remember to make it before the Eid prayer. Anyway, Sheikh Hamza was saying in his talk that the Prophet ﷺ has given us the five pillars of Islam. The Shahada, which taught human beings that there is only one God and that there has been prophetic communications between God and man since the beginning of human existence. The second pillar is prayer. Third pillar is zakah. Fourth is fasting. And the fifth is hajj. Fasting is what we are doing now in Ramadan. It is something that has been ordained on previous religions, not just on us. The Quran says, "Kutiba alaykum al-siyamu kama kutiba ala al-ladina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon." The fasting has been prescribed for you just as it was prescribed for those who went before you, meaning previous religions, dispensations, Jews and Christians and other prophetic traditions. This is in order that you might learn taqwa. So the purpose of fasting is to achieve taqwa. But what is taqwa? Taqwa comes from the root word wiqaya. Wiqaya means prevention or protection. And it's interesting that the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sawmu junna," that fasting is a shield. And so again, the same idea. The Prophet also taught us that the wudu, that ritual purification, is a weapon for the believer. And what do you need a weapon for but to protect yourself? So wudu is a protection. Prayer is a protection. Zakah is a protection for your wealth. Fasting is a way of protection. These protective barriers that's between ourselves and between those things that can harm us. So that fasting is a way really to coming back to our true nature, of reminding ourselves who we are. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sawmu junna," that is, fasting is a shield, he also said that whoever is fasting, لا يرفث ولا يجهل وإن امرئ قاتله أو شتمه قال إني صائم إني صائم. That is, whoever is fasting should not speak of inappropriate matters and should also not يجهل, لا يجهل, and I'll come back to that. It has the idea that he should not be impetuous or ignorant or behave in the way that the people of Jahiliyyah used to behave. But then he said, if a man should oppose you, should argue with you, should attack you or curse you, you should respond by saying, "Inni sa'imun, inni sa'im." Let him say, "I'm fasting," and let him say it two times to remind himself that he is fasting. In other words, I'm in a state of discipline with my world. I'm in a state of discipline and I'm not going to allow somebody to unsettle my state, so that I can fall into these old patterns of behavior. Because ultimately, what we have with the majority of people in the world is that they are almost on autopilot. They are autonomous and they are really sleepwalking through existence, and they end up being constantly reacting. So we always react to certain stimuli in the world that we are engaged in. Somebody calls them a name, they have pushed a button. so to speak, and there is an automatic response. And so what the Prophet is saying here is that if somebody calls you a name, say, I'm fasting. In other words, I'm in a state of awareness. I'm not on autopilot. I'm in a higher state of consciousness. And I'm going to engage in this, I'm not going to engage in this game of auto behavior or reactionary behavior. Because fasting is ultimately about moving to a higher state of consciousness. And that is where the Prophet was taking people. He was taking people to a higher level of awareness. Because most of what we see out there in the world of problems and tribulations, we can actually analyze. What we are seeing is people that are asleep. The human conflicts in houses, domestic conflicts, are because of patterns of behavior. It is people that are literally in patterns of behavior, that they fall into these patterns early on, and then the patterns are replicated, sometimes for an entire lifetime. And sometimes it gets to a point where the people cannot take the patterns anymore, and they will break out of a relationship. But then often they will go just to another relationship and fall into the same pattern. Islam is about waking up. It is definitely been said by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu that an-nasu niyam, people are asleep. فَإِذَا مَاتُوا انْتَبَهُوا. If they are, and when they die, they suddenly become awake or aware. There's a hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, أَعِدُّوا أَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. Consider yourself to be those already in the graves. Consider yourself already dead. In other words, what the Prophet is telling us and what Sayyidina Ali was trying to teach us is that we should die before we die. What does it mean? It means we should wake up now. We should see things as they are now. We do not wait until death comes upon us and then we say, Ya walana man ba'atana min marqadina hada. Who woke us up from this sleep? This is what the Merciful has promised, and the prophets were truthful. Do not wait for that point. So the idea is really to wake up, and that is what Ramadan is about. It's about waking up. It's about getting up. It's about getting up at night, getting up earlier than you usually do. It's about saying your tahajjud at night. Ramadan is about waking up, and fasting is about waking up. And it's one of the things that people do after they have a big meal. They go to sleep. So Ramadan is also about lessening the food, lessening the substance that pulls the body into that lethargic state. If you are eating, the Prophet says, it's enough for the soul of Adam, it's enough for human beings to have a few luqaymat, to have small morsels that keep his back straight. Because if he has to, then he will let him only, if he has to eat too much, if he has to eat, then let him eat only one third for the food, one third for the drink, and one third for the breathing. Can you come forward, please, brothers and sisters? Please come forward to make more space for the late comers. I want to go back now to the idea of the word that Prophet said, وَلَا يُجْهَلْ, the idea of جَهْل. It means let him not be ignorant during these times of fasting. But the Arabic word جَهْل means ignorance. The opposite of جَهْل is عِلْم or knowledge. However, the original Arabs, the Arabs who lived in the time of Jahiliyyah, it did not really relate to jahl, ignorance as such. The original Arabs who lived in that time of Jahiliyyah used to define jahl as somebody who responds with disproportionate zeal if he was insulted. And the idea was that if somebody insulted you, or your tribe that you were expected to display a level of ignorance that would completely put the other person into a state of fear and humiliation. So jahl is a very interesting concept as such. Instead, the Prophet said that during fasting, فَلَا يَجْهَلْ. So now we understand what the Prophet means when he says, لَا يَجْهَلْ. Let him not fall into this state of jahl. That is a reactionary state. The age of jahiliyyah is the age of reaction. And what Islam's role was to remove the reactionary mode in the human being and to make them a vehicle of action, not a vehicle of reaction. Not falling into pre-programmed patterns of behavior, but actually entering into a conscious state of awareness where you are actually functioning as a fully awake human being. That you are not only awake to the realities of the world around you, but you're awake to your own human potentials. Those God-given potential that exists within you to actually overcome the propensities of self, to overcome the inclination of human nature for greed, for anger, for arrogance, for vanity, and for these qualities that the human beings find so easy to slip into when they are in reactionary mode. And yet, when they become awake and see them for what they really are, they are less than animal behavior. So fasting is about becoming aware of your behavior, aware of your tongue, aware of your heart, and aware of your eyes, aware of your ears, aware of the fact that Allah is giving you these extraordinary gifts, and then challenge you to use them for what they were created for, not for what they are used most often for the wrong purposes. Finally, I just want to explain also the difference between the opposite of jahl. As we said in the Arabic word, the opposite of jahil is alim. But within this context of jahl, as in jahiliyyah, as in reactionary, the opposite of jahl is hilm. Then the opposite of jahil is halim. And the halim was a person who is forbearing. They were the persons who did not display impetuousness, did not display their passions, did not display their zealotry when they were confronted. They were actually viewed, were censored, were attacked by somebody who did not display this type of hardiness or arrogance, and this was the characteristic and the hallmark of the best creation of the Nas, the best creation of all people, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the most of the forbearing people. That is one of his distinguished characteristics. In fact, one of the Yemeni Jews who came to Medina, when he heard that the Prophet had emerged, actually went and insulted the Prophet. And when the Prophet did not get angry, he became a Muslim. The Jewish man said that his father, who was a rabbi, had left him with a description of the last Prophet, and said he had realized all descriptions except for one. He needed to test him on forbearance, on hilm, and in the face of arrogance. Would he react or would he act appropriately? And when he saw the Prophet act appropriately, the man became a Muslim. One of the very sad things about current and recent phenomena is that we see Muslims in agitated states, in reactionary states, in a mode of anger. We see contorted faces in demonstrations, in marches, shouting and screaming. And this is very different from the actual characteristics and qualities of the Prophet ﷺ and those who follow him. And that is why God says in the Quran that he is the one who sent down the peace. He gave the Sakina. And he sent down the Sakina on the hearts of the believers. And in sending down the Sakina, it would make them tranquil. He removed the Jahiliyyah. the arrogance in behavior. This is a very long thing, but I would refer you to Surah Al-Fath, and you will find all the references to Sakina. So the idea of giving Sakina, this state of tranquility, this state of peace, that is the way of the Muslim. The Quran, it says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. Those who walk gently on earth are Ibadur Rahman, are the worshippers of Rahman, the servants of the merciful. Those who walk gently on earth, these are the qualities of the believers. They have dignity. It is not weakness. It is the dignity of a lion rather than the dignity of a lamb. If you watch a lion, he has this sakina. The lion does not need to be agitated. It does not need to be troubled. When he needs to leap, he leaps. But he has got the dignity that he carries with him wherever he goes. So that is the essence of the believer, the beauty of the lion, that the lion only attacks when it needs to attack, to defend itself or for its food. There will never be carnage. Lions will never go out and slaughter a kid or a zebra or a sheep or something like that for carnage's sake. A lion takes what it needs, and that is why if you watch one of the documentaries, you find that when lions attack zebras, zebras run everywhere, but once the lions caught one of the zebras just settle again, because they know that the lion would not kill them. The lion does not create carnage. The lion has got controlled anger, which he uses for good purpose. And this is what we need to be. This is what fasting teaches us. This is what Ramadan is all about. It's about awakening, about achieving this higher level of consciousness, about achieving control. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفر الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد الرحمة المسداة والنعمة المهداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The essence of what Ramadan is about is reckoning with your Lord, about re-establishing that bond with Allah, this tie with Allah, the rope, al-habl, that Allah has given us, which is in the Quran described, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Cling all of you together to the rope of Allah. The Prophet said, وَهُوَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينِ. It is the unbreakable rope of Allah. That is the Quran. And so part of the covenant with Allah during Ramadan is to return to the book of Allah, to return to the Quran, and to discipline ourselves to reading it and reflecting on its meaning, on its meanings. The Quran says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder this Quran, or are their hearts sealed? This is time to go back to the Quran, to reflect on the Quran. This is time to do muhasaba, to reckon with oneself and to do reckoning with oneself. Where have we been in the past year? And what do we plan to do in the coming year? Reckoning ourselves on the straight path. This is the way of Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ibrahim. This is the way of Moses. This is the way of John the Baptist, this is the way of Jesus, and this is the way of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the prophetic way. We are walking in the path of prophets. This is the Mawtah, the well-trodden path. This is the path of the people that were closest to God. And so when we are fasting, we are sharing and partaking in a discipline that every seeker of God in the past of any prophetic tradition has done. So we are connecting ourselves with an unbroken chain of tradition, of connecting ourselves in a deep and sacred bond with every seeker of God from the beginning of time until the end of time. We are connecting with them in the sacred search to rescue ourselves and be rescued. Allow ourselves to be rescued by Allah, and that is why it is a blessed month and time for people to take the most benefits they can, not to waste time. Let the tongue begin to do a lot of dhikr instead of remembering others with wrong, with not speaking ill of people, and instead wasting our time in empty chatter. Imam al-Ghazali said, the real fasting is not the fasting of the tongue and the stomach, but the real fasting is the fasting of the heart, where we begin to prevent our hearts from feasting on prohibited thoughts or prohibited concerns, like doubts and fear, like anxiety about revision. This is where we teach ourselves at-tawakkul, tawakkul ala Allah, that is trusting in Allah. It is letting go of all the fear and all the things about the modern world. This is a fear-based world. There are all people out there that are trying to scare people, scare them about their provision, scare them about this, scare them about that. You could lose your job, you could lose your wealth, you could lose this, you could lose that. Indeed, you could lose it all. But if you have Allah, you have not lost anything, because everything you desire is with Allah. So seek Allah, you will get everything you desire. Ramadan is a time to give this fear and worry up. It's just to let go. And that is the message that we all have to take out of this world. Because if you look at the state of the world, that the state of the world is in right now, and the state of human beings in the world, human beings are in a very serious condition. The fact that the number one industry on the planet is that of intoxicants, al-khumur. The number two industry in the planet is armaments, al-asliha, keeping people in a state of stupor and then giving them the means by which they destroy themselves. By disciplining ourselves and refusing to enter into the actionary mode, entering into this obsessive compulsive demand that this fills, take this and you need this and you have to have this and I must have this. It is just rejecting all and saying tawakkaltu ala Allah, I trust in Allah. It's about recognizing all the things that you need, you already have. You have always had them. They are inside you. They are with you. And Allah has always been there. Allah has never not been there. And this is Iman. This is what it's all about. All these demonic forces and dark forces in the world out there are just trying to tell people that none of this is real. That is not true. You have to be in a state of fear. You have to be in a state of need. You have to be in a state of want. And those are the things that make you miserable. So achieving equilibrium will give us the ability to maintain one dignity, to maintain one self-discipline, and to stay in this world and to be a positive force in the world, to be a force that's changing, bringing light into the world, that's educating, edifying, taking people to higher levels of understanding. That is what Islam is about, and that is what Muslims are meant to be doing. And all those people out there that are abusing Islam, all those people out there that are not living up to the truths of Islam, to the compassion of Islam, to the mercy of Islam, to the demands of Islam, let us go out in the world with humility, take this deen and those who accept it as our brothers. And those who reject it, if they are still our brothers as well, because they are children of Adam. And we see them as people that need to be protected, and these are called Ahli Dhimma in Islam. Finally, I just try to remind you of a hadith of Prophet Muhammad, where he says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will truly become a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Imam al-Nawawi, in his commentary, said that brothers include people of other religions because of the Adamic bonds that we have with them. Unfortunately, time has caught up with us again, so we'll have to finish there. Just let me remind you that we still have a few days in Ramadan. We should make use of these days in Ramadan. We should prepare for Laylatul Qadr, which is in the last 10 days of Ramadan. It might be any night, it might be tonight, it might be tomorrow night. So make more effort. Final push for the last few days. Remember Eid. Remember to pay your Zakat al-Fitr before Eid prayers, inshallah. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا واشرح به صدورنا ونور به قلوبنا وأطلق به ألسنتنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يتوب عليكم واقم الصلاة.